In both the first and the third readings today, we have instances where God is telling people to do things or getting them set up ready to do things. Wonderful story, the first one with Abram. You notice he's still Abram. He doesn't become Abraham until later on. But Abram is like in his 80s, and his wife, Sarai. And they live up in basically what is Baghdad, Iraq. And God is saying, now I want you to put all your stuff together, and I want you to go to this wild frontier country that we call Canaan. And so what would you do at that age? You would say, is anybody else up there, you know? But so Abram does what God asked him to do, and he ends up getting down into Egypt and back. And Canaan is really today's Israel on the eastern border of the Mediterranean Sea. And Abram is told that he will be the father of many nations, and his offspring will be as numerous as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. And here's Abram in his 80s, and his wife likewise, and they have no children. And so Abram says, well, God wants me to do that, I'll do it. And he was blessed. Pretty soon along comes a little boy, Isaac, and indeed, his offspring become very numerous, and he is known as a faithful man who helped bring God's word through his people, the Jewish people, into the world, the promised people of God. And then we have our Lord on being transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. They were on Mount Tabor. Mount Tabor is in the plain of Jezreel. It's a freestanding mountain, not part of a range of mountains. So it's freestanding, and Jesus there is with Elijah and Moses. Moses, the great lawgiver, the Ten Commandments come from him, from God. And Moses himself, being in the presence of God, was transfigured, we read. Elijah, one of the great prophets, and he had an interesting story in his life. He was in competition with the priests of Baal, B-A-A-L. They were a pagan group, and they worshiped golden idols. And Elijah was a prophet of the Lord God Yahweh. And so they one day had a competition because the priests of Baal thought they were more, their God was more powerful than Elijah's. And so what they did is they took some beef and cut them in half, put them on stands, on grilled alongside. And so they were to pray, and whose God was most powerful would incendiate the various animals, and they would have a barbecue. Well, the priests of Baal prayed and prayed, and they marched around. Nothing happened. They rested a little bit, and Elijah said, keep going. And so they prayed some more and marched around. Nothing happened. He said, are you ready to give up? Yeah, we'll quit for now. So Elijah said, well, pour some water over my meat there. Pour some more water on there. And then he prayed to the Lord God, and poof, they had barbecued beef. And Elijah then, as a sign of his power, though, he said, you guys are bad. And he had 225 of those guys killed. So don't mess with a prophet of God. They were the ones up there, and Peter, James, and John, three of the apostles. And they had this wonderful experience of Christ being transfigured in front of them, turning white, you know, and then the others present with him, and the voice then from the Father, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Follow Do what he wants you to do. With that kind of event, these three, think of it, would never, ever in their life be able to be convinced that there was no God, that Jesus was not special. That's why they could stand firm with absolute confidence in what they were doing, that they were following the right person and giving their energies to make sure that his word was known in whatever way possible. This window right here is St. James Major, as it says. Now, he was the James in this gospel story. St. James Major, meaning St. James the Greater. James and John were brothers, the sons of Zebedee. And he was the first bishop of Jerusalem and also the first of the apostles to be killed. Herod thought that there was a good, strong momentum among his people to be against these followers of Jesus, and so he had him killed, thrown over a hillside and killed. Of course, Herod didn't win the long story. But James is also connected with Spain, Santiago de Compostela, a great pilgriming spot. If you look what he has in his hand, he has a staff, a walking staff, and that little bag, a pilgrim's bag, that he would have a few belongings in. Often he also has a seashell on him, and I'm trying to figure out whether that is a knot or if that is a seashell kind of at the bottom of that, or is that a hat that he's wearing there, his pilgrim's hat, but a seashell, because he was a fisherman, also connected with James. But Santiago de Compostela is still a great pilgrimage spot. Don't know if you read in a week ago Saturday's paper, Paul Leingang and his wife made that pilgrimage over there in Spain of I forget how many kilometers, several hundred kilometers of pilgrimage to the city and the church at Santiago de Compostela. Santiago means St. James, just as San Diego also is St. James. But here you have it pictured with you. Whenever the sons of Zebedee are mentioned, you can look up there and say, yeah, that's James right there. But the thing it is for us is to always be concerned, is God calling us? How does God call us? How do we kind of get where we are? And parents, you are absolutely important in that task of dealing with your children. You become the voice of God, or one of the voices of God for your children. You help them. You help them to discern, and you yourselves observe qualities, strengths that they have, and encourage them in those directions. Grandparents, I'll swear God changes the genes of grandparents, and they become so enamored with their grandchildren, and it's wonderful, wonderful to see. But you are so important in the little ones in choosing how they want to live their lives, what they want to do. Teachers, comes from a variety of sources. We even help one another to say, yes, yes, go, do. That's the thing to do. That's the right decision. These are the ways that God speaks to us very clearly every day, really, in our life. Our task is to be sensitive to that, to be aware that God is really with us, speaks to us, and helps us in many different ways. Abram became Abraham, father of faith. Peter was known as Simon. He becomes Peter under the influence of Christ, calling him to be the rock on which he would build his church. On and on, people change. They are changed in the following of our Lord, in the carrying out of his work. We pray only that we can always be those people who never forget what we have experienced in our life, perhaps moments of intense spiritual reality. It may have been at a time of retreat or Curcio or Tech or Chirp, various times and places where we know we've been close to God, and that inspires us to keep going and to know that God calls us today again.